There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who win it now?
Zolak and Bertrand, are you laughing at the weird one shots to start the show?
A poke in ear.
Yeah.
Poke in high
five.
Ear.
We do the high five again. Right?
Hey, it's Freaky Friday, right? What do you call it? Fired Up Friday? This is Fired Up Friday.
Something like that.
Yeah. One of our co-hosts is really fired up today.
I don't know why you keep saying that. I'm fine.
You're a little fired up today. A little fired up. I like that.
I can't.
I like that about you.
Jim kept saying stupid stuff, and I had to.
What else you want to talk about?
All right, let's do it. What do you say, guys?
This is, what are we calling this? Fired Up Friday.
It is Fired Up Friday.
This might stick. You know, we do some of these things, and sometimes it sticks.
Yes, it's always good to assign an emotion to a day and then try and match that emotion because you gave it a name.
Well, I'd say normally Fridays are pretty emotional, and like I get very excited on Fridays.
No, listen, that's not how this went, though, Hardy. It's that we discovered that everyone was fired up about various topics.
Okay, so can we say it is a Fired Up Friday? Leave it at that.
But that Fired Up Friday is such a great name, it might stick.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't know.
Just like Florida Man.
Come up with a great name. This is exactly what you're railing on Fowler about. You come up with a great name. We'll worry about if the bit actually works later. We've got the name. We've got to do it.
You want to talk about shoehorning something. That is Florida Man Tom Brady.
I can't tell you how many times I got hit on Twitter. Can you please play Margaritaville again with pictures of people from Florida? It's so original.
That's a good bit.
It's so dumb that it works. Right.
It's easy.
Right.
Yesterday, the NFL was voting on rule proposals. And they have decided in the NFL that they are going to table the rule proposal. They may revisit it in a year or 2 years or never again. Who knows? But 4th and 15 in place of an onside kick, not going to happen this year in the NFL.
Good.
And I'm disappointed about that.
Why?
I'm disappointed because I thought that this was an innovative way to get back to having the chance to possess the ball again late in the game. And that opportunity has completely gone away in football.
I mean,
it's gone away. The kickoffs in football are a non-competitive play now on both regular kickoffs and on onside kick attempts. They're useless. They barely ever work.
Pretty much. I would say kickoffs are, by and large, a non-competitive play, whether it's an onside kick or a regular kickoff.
Right.
I agree.
The only thing they made competitive really is the PAT, you know, backing it up, and they made it's made that one hell of a competitive play.
Yeah, that's
how are you going to call fourth and 15 if you had contact? That's what I would want to know.
Oh my God, there's so many issues with this.
I agree. You could have a guy getting T-bone coming across the middle because you're not going to run a ball fourth and 15. You're dropping back. You're going to be throwing it up. It's chuck and duck, and you're putting people over the middle where you could just T-bone. Your job as a safety is to dislodge the football, and I think you could open it up to more concussions and more violent hits. Fourth and 15 as opposed to an onside kick. Leave the onside kick as it is. It's like one of the purest plays in football.
I'm sorry.
Kicks.
Explain that to me again, that it's going to be a more violent and more dangerous play than a traditional onside kick.
See, people say, well, they want to keep it like fourth and 15 because it's not as it removes most of the collisions that an onside kick play would take place. If you're going to try and throw the ball down the seam, or if you got guys crossing in the middle 15 yards down, they could violently get hit. You know what I mean?
They could be violently hit on any play.
I understand. The fourth and 15 doesn't mean it's going to be a safer play just because you're eliminating the onside kick. Like, that's why they want to do this. They're trying to change the way the game is played.
Well,
they're already taking away your ability to run, have a full sprint on the 10 yards. You know, that's what's why the play really doesn't work anymore.
The first thing that's wrong with this is you look at the numbers and you have this romanticized notion of onside kick recoveries and how often it happened and how great it was when it did happen.
13.2% is the historical onside kick recovery rate. Yeah, 13.2%.
And back in 17, it was successful on 11 of 57 onside kicks.
Small sample.
Okay.
It's a nerve-wracking
11
play,
on 57.
One season out of the 100 the NFL has played.
So then you go to 2018 when it was 4 for 52.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Remember when it was 11 of 57? That was awesome. 4 on 52. Unacceptable. Create an entire new play that's never existed in football before. So the poor team that sucks and is trailing throughout most of the game has a chance to win it. It's such
Pro Bowl. It's like the Pro Bowl.
And I've never gone here before, but you know what this reeks of? Like a millennial viewpoint. Wait a second. What do you mean we don't have a chance to win the game? We just scored. We need to get the ball back so we can try and win the game. You want to win the game? Play better for the first, 58 minutes of the game. Play better during that time, and that way you'll have a much better chance of winning instead of getting the ball two times in a row. You don't get the ball two times in a row. Once you score, you got to give the ball up, or you have to make an amazing play.
It's about getting back to what was a statistical norm and something that had existed since the 1920s.
No, not a statistic. No, it was still a huge
viewpoint.
What do you mean statistical norm? So statistically, you are more likely to recover an onside kick than not? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I said at all.
Well, you said statistical norm.
The statistical norm of being able to recover the football and trying to get back to and reach that same area and same number. Again, historically, 13.2%. That includes the all-time data of an onside recovery.
I like that. I love that nerve-wracking play. I remember we would practice this on Fridays, and I remember the frontline guys would crap their pants because, damn it, you know, we got to get up there. Now, they eliminated, you know, you can't run 10 yards and T-bone guys because those guys on the front line were usually the ones who were getting T-bone, and they got to concentrate on trying to catch the football. So it's a nerve-wracking play. Even though it's not a high conversion rate, it's still bitch to recover that. It puts a lot of pressure on that recovery team. And you just missed that element of it.
And fourth and 15, historically, 16.8%.
I wouldn't trust referees on this play. I wouldn't trust referees on a fourth and 15 final.
That includes penalties all time. That includes penalty calls, 16.8%.
Nope. Zoe's exactly right. They are going to be either more inclined or less inclined to shove the flags deeper in their pocket or pull them out. It introduces all these new elements to a play that really shouldn't even exist. I was never a huge fan of the onside kick. Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking because there's this infinitesimal chance.
What do you like then? You don't like fourth and 15. You don't like the onside kick. Hell. So you just don't like the chance to possess the ball again.
He doesn't like football.
Really? No.
He doesn't like football.
No, I do like football, but I like that it's an infinitesimal chance for you. You got to make one hell of a play to get to and the other team has to be totally inept.
It's not. See, this is what I disagree with. Do you think the onside kick is some sort of football team play? It's not. It's about the bounce of the ball.
It's luck.
Sucks.
It's luck.
It's like pure luck.
Yeah.
Which is not a football play. Fourth and 15, That's a football play.
But it's not luck. It's not a coin toss.
You can involve all 11 guys on the field in 4th and 15.
Nope.
On an onside kick, you can't do that.
It's not
4th and 15 is football.
It's not luck.
Onside kick is a circus.
It's not luck. Luck means 50-50. And it's a really, really small chance that you recover that onside kick. The defensive team has to be, like, really inept, or you have to, and you have to make this amazing play. And it's, yeah, it brings some drama into it, but it's most likely not going to happen. You can give me all the stats in the world you want on 4th and 15 plays all over the field. It's never been done in this scenario. So take your statistics and shove them, because until you put it into a game scenario with the game on the line and a team that is put in that position on both sides of the football.
When do teams go for it on 4th and 15, Hardy? When does 4th and 15 come up in a game? When does that happen?
At
the end of games when you're desperate and you need to convert it to try
Super
and
Bowl
win.
When you go for
it's different once you've already scored.
Exists in the fourth quarter when you're down two touchdowns, you're down a score, when you are going for it because you have no other choice. Teams don't just choose to go for it on 4th and 15 in the second quarter.
Here's the
they
difference.
Don't do that.
Here's the difference.
You go against the Chiefs, you deploy five guys in the route. Don't tell me that they're not going to call. They're going to grab the. They're going to get you on the tug and pull. I'm telling you, they're going to be saying holding defensive holding PI. Illegal contact, you're deploying five people en route. It's harder to defend. It really is. Puts pressure on the defense. And if you're playing well enough to that point, I wouldn't give that offense that ability to come back in a game on a 4th and 15 play. It's sort of a Hail Mary.
And here's the difference. The 4th and 15 play doesn't take place in pretty much any other scenario when a team has momentum. Is a team who's trying to pull off a 4th and 15 playing well at that moment? Probably not. But in this case, they are playing well. They just went down the field and scored. They've got the momentum.
Because they're playing well, you better make sure they don't get a chance to get the ball back.
Saints the Chiefs and Mahomes.
No, they can have a chance to get the ball back, the same chance they've always had with an onside kick.
No, not that they've always had. That they've had the last couple of years with the new onside kick rules, which are pointless.
Which are pointless.
Which reduce it to such a small amount. By the way, the perfect comparison.
2 years worth of data.
And
last year was a really bad year.
Oh, you think it's going to get better? You haven't seen this with your own eyes that it doesn't work?
I know enough to know that one season where it had a really low percentage is not enough to make a judgment call on how it's going to be for the next 5 or 10 years. That's just common sense. You can't
take your data and shove it.
You can't take one season's worth of data. Well, because this is the rule. This is how the game is played right now with the onside kick.
You can't take one season's worth of data, which is exactly what you did at the start of the segment.
You can't take one season's worth of data and say, look at that. It went down. It went down. It's like, oh, okay. It's been in effect for a couple of years. You don't think teams are going to be able to figure out little ways around it? And if they don't, I'm fine with that, too. You want a chance to win the game? Play better for the rest of the game. That's how you have a better chance of winning the game. And there was one thing that we can get to on the other side.
Want to win the game? Stop a team on 4th and 15. Want to win the game?
Don't give up the touchdown
beforehand. Like, defense doesn't matter.
And if you don't stop them on the 4th and 15, now they can squirt loose and go score a touchdown on one fluky circus play. Is that how you want your games to end, on a fluky circus play?
Yeah, because the onside kick has never been a fluky circus play. That's the definition of the onside kick.
Rarely.
Fluky circus play.
Rarely.
You want to introduce a real football play, and you go to that stupid millennial, stupid, just change thing. Get out of here with that.
It is.
You want to play football the way a football game. God forbid.
Oh, play a football game. That's right. Don't introduce some cockamamie rule just because you don't like how things are trending toward the way it's always been played. Traditionalist, you're the one who wants to blow it up because you're afraid you're not going to have a chance to recover your precious onside kick.
Here's what we've learned in this segment. You don't like anything. You don't like the original onside kick. You don't like the new onside kick.
Not
you
much.
Don't like this proposal to
I
change
really
what the onside
kick I really
don't
want to change
is.
It. That's right.
He's the old cranky uncle that comes over at Thanksgiving. He's always bitching about something.
There might be some more rule changes on the way. In fact, they voted on what we're going to call a sky judge, because that's what it is.
Yep.
We'll get to that coming up next in your call. 617-779-0985. Don't go anywhere.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Yep.
At 98.5 The Sports Hub in Dorchester. Yes, he is. You see these quotes in the AP about athletes that are not feeling so great about coming back?
Yeah.
They are wary about coming back. Some of them are from sports that, you know, you watch and you've heard of. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not. I can't say I've ever watched a lot of javelin throwing, but it's in here. Let's read from some of them, including Chris Thompson, NFL running back, who is, as the story on the Associated Press reads, the father of a four-month-old daughter. And they write, guess which one of those facts matters more to him when he ponders eventually returning to work amid a pandemic? Quote, if I go to practice or play and I come back home with the virus, that's my biggest worry. He obviously has a newborn at home and doesn't have the immunity, maybe the immune system, to fight off this virus. And so he's obviously very concerned.
It's only human. It's like what we all feel, right? I mean, whether you talk about your magic key there, the button that you have, pumping gas,
clean key,
or whether you're getting your groceries and you wash them enough. And we all fear that.
I don't have a newborn at home.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's still the human element of it.
It's got to be times 10 for Chris Thompson or anyone else that is in that situation that has had a baby in the last couple of months.
Could be athletes living with elderly. You know, could have maybe their mother-in-law living with them that has health issues, you know. Just because you're athletes doesn't mean you'll have the human element
right.
of it, you know.
No, same thing applies.
People forget that. Right.
He says, we're not robots out there. People are saying, hey, with all that's going on, we need sports back in our lives to get our minds off everything. He says, that's all good, but you got to think about this too. When we start back at training camp, you're putting 90 guys from 90 different places all together. And it happens a lot that a lot of us get sick. So, reporters from the AP spoke with more than 24 athletes from around the globe representing 7 countries and 11 sports to get a sense of how concerned or confident they are about resuming competition. And what emerged, above all, was a sense that they are going through the very same sort of thing the rest of society is, as Zoe just said. Devils defenseman Connor Carrick said, there's certainly an element of the unknown. This has not been studied all that long, even though it still feels like an eternity some days. There is it Beth Ann? I don't know how to say that. I don't know the tennis at all. Maddox Sands, who said, it's sort of tough to even gauge what I should be worried about right now. There is more.
About Kevin the Javelin? Hardy likes the javelin thrower.
Kevin Beecham said, you have these billionaire team owners that are probably social distancing in their boxes. While you have guys on the field playing a game with no fans. Get what?
Let's record that one, Jim. Thanks.
What, that I said they might be in their boxers?
They were social distancing in their box.
All right. Oh, okay. All right. So, I think that would be very, very awkward. All right. Which one do you want to get to?
That one kind of like stuck out to me, though, because that's got some like connotations there. And I don't know if I agree with it. I understand what he's saying. It's like you've got all these guys down there on the field. You know, maybe they're at risk, maybe they're not. But then up in the owner's box, they're sitting in, you know, with 6 feet apart and glass partitions for some of them. And some of them are going to be wearing masks and taking it more seriously. Like, huh. So,
oh, that applies to all sectors of the economy, does it not?
It does.
You think all the rich guys are out there, you know, with the people right now? No, they're holed up in their mansions, not talking to anybody.
It's odd imagery.
Doing all their work from, again, in their boxers. Yes, yeah. I think we should have just stuck with that. Sitting at home in their boxers, not going anywhere. Yeah, telling people to get back to work.
Get back there. You sell. Tell my boxers.
Yeah. Hey, Hardy, do you think the Waltons, is it the Waltons that own Walmart? Is that the family? What's their last name?
Yeah, that's right.
Is it the Waltons? Yeah. You think they're going into their stores right now?
I don't think they're running the register, no.
No, I don't think they are either. While their employees are out there dying, you think they're going to work? You think they're showing up at the store every day to bag the groceries?
They're probably running a popcorn plate. They got the popcorn and pizza thing here when you first walk in.
So if that's what Calvin Beecham was hinting at, he's right. Yes. In their boxes and in their boxers. Yes. In the face of here's the one you wanted, though. Kara Winger, the U.S. record holder in javelin.
She's good.
In the face of global pandemic, to me, sports should not be the focus. Being used as an experiment is okay with me if it helps the global population. But if the motivation is just to get back on the field of play, I don't think that's right, is what she said.
So what is the guy who does the hammer throw? What does he say? Because, again, this is what's important. These are the activities that people are clamoring for. And what about the dude who has the discus?
What about
the current world
about
record?
The triple jumper?
Discus holder. Yes, the triple jumpers. What do they have to say about it?
Well, what's that other thing? That pole you fling yourself up over top that. The pole vault.
How about the guy from the Danish
Soccer
League?
They got to touch that pole.
They found a guy from the Danish Soccer League.
I would guess there are, on average, I'd say 1,000 times the number of people paying attention to what he does than any javelin, discus, hammer thrower. And look, these people got called for the article. They got called for a comment. You know, they gave it. That's fine. It's wonderful to get an interesting cross-section.
Well, this guy's playing right now. He's the captain of a team in the Danish Soccer League, which picked up play yesterday.
Talk to a UFC fighter right now. Yeah.
Players and coaches are getting tested before every single game. He says, I feel confident and secure, not afraid or anything like that. We can control it quite well.
Oh.
So there's a player that feels pretty strong about it. Testing before every game, I'd say that's a nice thing to have. I wonder when they get the results back. They must get them before the game is played, right? Like, you get tested
I guess. So they're getting the long swab? Like, they're going through that? Like, getting their eyeball tickled every
That's
twice
what they
got
to do, Zoe. Oh, got to do it, man. Got to touch the brain a little bit to get some good brain juice on there to make sure you're getting a good sample.
Well, there's one that really resonates in terms
Which
of
one?
These people. The St. Louis Cardinals.
Like 20 quotes.
The St. Louis. The St. Louis Cardinals shortstop. Is it DeJong or DeJong? Paul DeJong.
I think it's DeJong.
DeJong. I always thought that baseball players kind of associate with the everyday workers that just want to get back to work and do their jobs like normal, almost like a service to others.
How much crack he smoke? Has he heard what his sport is doing?
I'll give him this. This is a guy who probably doesn't want Blake Snell and Bryce Harper speaking for him. And this is what we talked about like last week. It's like you get a couple of MLB players, you know, saying something like, you know, I got to get paid. I got to get my money. Yeah, go ahead, Blake. You tell the truth. You're preaching. And then you've got somebody from the Cardinals saying, like, no, I want to get back to work. I want to do my job. I understand that it's entertainment, and I'm providing it, and I would like to get back to doing it. So I'm not saying that he's the majority.
What's Paul DeJong's salary? We got to get his salary for this year. Right. I'm curious to know what bracket of player he's in.
No, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get
okay,
mine.
Well, he signed a six-year, $26 million contract. He got $1 million signing bonus. Of course, it's guaranteed. Annual average value of $4.25 million.
Okay.
Just like the everyday worker trying to get back to work.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not going to criticize him for saying this if he thinks it's hard, if that's how he feels.
Yeah, but you wanted to a little bit. Otherwise, you wouldn't ask how much money he makes.
Well, the way he feels is wrong. Baseball players aren't viewed as the everyday worker that's just trying to get back to work.
Say hockey guys were. more so. They're more of
no,
like
but
a
I
collar,
ask how much money he makes, guy. Hardy, to know if he was one of the guys who doesn't make a lot of money and is like, well, this is just my job. This just happens to be my profession, and I need to go make my $750,000 or $1 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's sort of different when you're closer, but if he really – I mean, if every baseball player felt this way, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now.
Correct.
It's, we got to figure out a way to do this. We got to figure out a way to get back out there. And that's certainly not what's going on. That's certainly not happening right now. Good luck with that. Looks like they're headed towards a cancellation of the season. 617-779-0985. You have thoughts on that? Thoughts on the NFL rule changes or thoughts on the possibility of seeing Mike Tyson box again?
Yeah.
Give us a call. We're going to get to Tyson next.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Yes, I have talked to Mike Tyson, and, you know, I got him a TV show that he's going to do because I was trying to do everything to get him to not fight. He's a grown man, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, I said it when he came out. The guy is powerful. He looks explosive. He's gotten himself in great shape, and he wants to fight. So from what I'm hearing from them, they have something lined up, something big. And he's going to get in there. And he said, you know, we talked about it. And he said, listen, I feel that fire in my stomach. You know, I want to get in there and I want to mix it up again. You know, like I said, these people, he's a grown man. And Tyson hits hard. He's still explosive. And he's got the fire again, man. He wants to do it. So I'm fully supportive of him.
Iron Mike is back, baby. He's back.
I need this. I told you, I've been watching those old Tyson videos. Because I know he's got the gray beard now, but you see the sparring partner he's with there? And he almost clips his chin. The dude puts his neck. Whoa. Mike, you almost got too close to me on that one.
All right. He's 53 years old, and he's in a short video, he is training. And he's throwing punches. How much would you have to get paid to be the guy who puts the suit on to let Mike Tyson hit you?
$2.5 million. You really want to know the stupidity in its purest?
No, watch. The times are tight for everybody.
Watch the Peter McNeely fight.
Beetle, had you brought this up in our pre-show meeting, we would have blocked out every segment for the rest of the day to talk about this and this alone. All right, so...
Well, that's why we put it off a little bit so we could do some other topics
holy
today.
Holy crap. Okay, so do
how
I...
How much would it take?
Do you get that body thing with the padding?
Yes, exactly the job that he is doing. He's got a full body pad that goes around his chest and his sides. He is not wearing headgear in the video, but I would allow you to wear headgear.
Okay, would I get to wear something on my arms? Because sometimes T-Bone punches me in the arm and I get that stinger.
Arms are fair game.
Nope.
And
It's the body. It's the body where he's going to kill you.
Yeah, but you might try to cover up, and he could punch you in the arm, and then you break your arm.
No, do you know what I'm worried about? Is that he gets in the zone, right?
Yeah.
And you know, he's just sparring, and he's just, you know,
training. Snaps.
And all of a sudden, he snaps, and he like gets into it, and he just wants to knock you out.
I feel no pain again.
Which he could still very much do, even with you wearing the headgear, but you are still going to get knocked the bleep out by Mike Tyson like that scene in The Hangover.
I don't know who the UFC fighter is, but he's some big dude. He's like 6'6". And Mike was working with him privately, trying to give him some pointers and tips on leverage. And he was talking about coming in and the body shots and how you explode right here through your legs. I get all my power right here. It's a step and boom. And it's really about the uppercut. And he was working with it. This guy was like, wow.
Okay.
And if I ever let you get inside, he's like, you got the reach and everything. You know, you could get to me. He said, but if I get up underside, if I got up inside of you and I could hit you and I could get the body blows, he said, that's where I wear you down.
Well, you're not even defending against him. He has all the free shots he wants on you.
Oh, God, dude.
So it's just about getting your ass kicked. How much you want for that?
Something. Okay,
ask Alan.
I've got a number.
Okay,
I've got a number.
I have a number too. I'm not joking because I think if you do this,
it's up $2.5 million, by the way.
Oh, God, mine's higher.
What?
Your body.
You don't mean that. You would do it for so much
Beetle,
less.
You're a young man. You're a big guy. You can take a punch. I'm damn near 50 years old, right?
He's 53.
So?
Do you know
he's a grown man.
Do you know
he's a grown man, Dana White
it's
said.
It's Mike
he's
Tyson.
A grown man.
Okay, your body, my body, would never be the same. If I let Mike Tyson wail on me, even with pads, so my number, I'm upping at $500,000, $3 million. I need a cool $3 million
to
let Mike Tyson do that to me.
I want to start a GoFundMe, and I think we should do this as a show so we can watch Hardy get knocked up by Mike Tyson. How much money can we raise?
How much, Beetle?
$300,000.
Oh, you're an idiot! No! What are you thinking?
And if you negotiate it down to $250, I might do it for $250.
Beetle would be eating through a blender the rest of his life. Beetle, do you want the butternut squash? Do you want which baby food?
Tyson versus Butterbean. Yeah, right, absolutely.
Like, I'll even shave my head for it too.
Oh my God! Here's the question: Are you allowed to put Vaseline and grease your face though?
Am I allowed to cry? Am I allowed to weep openly?
Like, your biggest fear should just be like, if you get knocked out, it's over. He can't keep hitting you. Right,
it's just gonna hurt so much, and I don't think I'm ever gonna walk right.
By the way, I want that money after taxes, though. So maybe it is more. Let's say $500,000.
I need more than that, dude.
No. What are you gonna do? Half a mil's a nightmare. You can't retire on $500,000.
Half a mil's not even gonna pay
for their college.
I'm not retiring.
What are you talking
I'm not going
about?
Anywhere.
You got T-boned. Your truck got T-boned, and you survived that.
And
deal.
I freaking survived that one somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you're talking about you getting knocked out and it's done, you're just talking about one punch then. That's all you're taking is one punch.
Well, would you rather before he knocks you out, Jim? He's going to sit there and pound on you like he's pounding on this guy, and then he's going to knock you out.
No,
so you're going to get your. You're going to be in rough
I
want to
see rubber legs. I want to see like your knee snap, or rubber legs, somewhere where you're going down sideways. He can knock you out one way, and he's so fast. Like once you're falling, I think he can come back and get a second shot in.
I really don't want to do it, guys. I'd rather not if we could.
Think of all the jacuzzis you could buy, Marty.
No amount of soaking in the hot tub is going to take away the pain.
You get a hot tub.
No,
you get all the
right.
different tubs.
You will never be able to eliminate that trauma from your memory.
I'm going to hurt for the rest of my life. $3 million, please.
You'll never sleep right again.
That's right. Oh my
you
God.
Have nightmares.
It's going to screw
you
up
have
your
nightmares.
Sleep.
It will mess with your head.
Tom wants to know if you'll take one hard punch from him for $20.
From T-Bone?
On camera. On the show.
No.
Who's paying me the $20?
Tom.
Yeah, I'll take
where's
his
he gonna
money.
Hit,
yeah,
where,
absolutely.
Where's he going to hit you?
To take his money personally, sure.
Where's the punch landing?
He can punch me wherever he wants.
I'll punch you
hurt.
In the arm.
Not going to hurt.
Punch you in the arm for $20? That's a good deal.
Yeah, of course.
As hard as I can. You
as hard as he
up.
Can. $20, I'd do it.
Of course, please.
That's Mike might catch a piece of face. I don't know.
Can we do it today?
I'd do it for free, please. You're not going to hurt
okay.
me.
Yeah, Tom Morgan.
Tyson?
Tom looks like he caught a workout this week. I don't know. What do you think, Hardy?
No, he bought a medium shirt.
You think he just went and got a smaller shirt?
Yeah. He went to Babies R Us. Stop flexing. Stop flexing on the. You see, every time he's on camera, he pushes like his arms up on the edge
of the
table.
I feel like his shoulders are starting to make a comeback.
I think a smaller clothes fit him now.
In terms of Tyson, though, I don't want more than three rounds. I would love
save
to.
Let's pick this up, Hardy. Let's talk about the actual boxing.
Okay,
if that can happen, we'll do it right after headlines. No commercials here.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.